Hello there, and welcome to the One Bad Day Songwriting Podcast, the podcast where we discuss the ins and outs of songwriting and go through tips and tricks and all kinds of fun stuff to write better songs and enjoy life more. It's a lofty goal, but I'm sticking with it. My name is Eivindur. You can call me Eivi, or if you're Canadian, just A. And I'm a singer-songwriter from Iceland. I have worked professionally as a songwriter for a number of years. I write a lot of music for theater, and I released an album earlier this year. And you can get a couple songs from that album for free if you want to check it out. The address is onebadday.rocks. That's onebadday.rocks. So this is the second episode. I want to discuss lyrics today. Some tips and tricks that I use to come up with better lyrics and improve my writing abilities. This is a tricky subject in a lot of ways, but one that I think I'm pretty good at. I take pride in my lyrics. I am very lyric-centric in my music. Now, I tend to write in English. I sometimes write in Icelandic, but none of the things that I'm going to be discussing hinge on the language you use. It doesn't matter. These are not, you know, grammar things or, you know, mannerisms in a certain language or anything like that. They're very general things that you can do, practical things that you can do to improve your lyrics. Now, before we get started, In the last episode, I went over a few things that I'm reading and watching and things because, as I will get into later on in this episode, I think it's very important to keep up with other stuff, to always keep immersing yourself in art, no matter what it is, you know, TV shows, movies, books, other people's music, certainly. Because it inspires a lot of things. And I mentioned last time that I was reading a couple of books by Joe Hill, Stephen King's son. I also recently read the latest Stephen King book, Elevation, which is a short novella. I don't know what it is, like 150 pages or something. It's not very long. I highly recommend that. It's really great. It is, again, you can get through it very quickly. And it's, I think I liked it. It's a lovely book. Very sort of, it's beautiful. I think it's great around this time of year, around Christmas. You just want something that's, uplifting, which is a kind of a pun on the, well, it's kind of a comment on what happens in the book. But anyway, I recommend it. I would read it. And there's an audiobook as well that is supposedly great. I actually read it on paper, but I love audiobooks. Where Stephen King reads it himself, and he's good at that stuff, so I would recommend the audiobook. Right now, I'm still on the Joe Hill stuff. I took a little break because I'm reading a novel that a friend of mine wrote. I'm sort of going over his manuscript for him before he sends it into his publishing house, and it's great. This is his second novel. Unfortunately, he writes in Icelandic, sorry, and his stuff hasn't been translated into English yet. I'm pretty sure it will be. He's really good, and I'm hoping that, you know, someday down the line, I'll be able to point you guys towards his books. Again, you know, I'm assuming that the majority of you guys listening to this don't actually read Icelandic, so we'll have to wait, but that's great stuff that I'm reading right now. Now, on that note, again, I love audiobooks, and I love books and all that stuff, TV shows and stuff in general. And if you want to support this podcast, if you like what you hear, you can sign up for a month free trial for Audible. If you go to onebadday.is/audible. That will take you to a page where you can sign up, and it helps me with this episode, and you get a month for free. And also, you can sign up for a free month of Amazon Prime if you go to onebadday.is/prime. And if you want to go the Kindle route, you can go to onebadday.is/Kindle. Or again, if you just want to support what I'm doing here, if you like what you hear, you can, if you want to, if you're going to do any Amazon shopping, let's say if you still have some Christmas presents to buy and it's not too late, you can go to onebadday.is/Amazon. And that just takes you to Amazon through my affiliate link. You can shop as you would normally. Doesn't cost you any more than it would otherwise. And I get a little cut there, and it helps me bring you this podcast. So that's a great way to support this if you're happy with what you hear. All right, let's dive into the meat of the matter here. Lyrics. I love good lyrics. I'm a very lyric-centric guy, both when I write and in the music that I choose to listen to. You know, my favorite artists are guys like Tom Waits, Nick Cave, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Conor Oberst, you know, Glenn Hansard. These guys who, you know, like to tell stories and have these really great lyrics. And, you know, when I write my songs, that's what I try to bring to the table. I take great pride in my lyrics. And I wanted to go over about 8 tips for writing better lyrics. These are tricks that I use when I write lyrics. And again, as with the last episode, there are, of course, millions of different tips and tricks that people use. And these are just what I use. Some of these may be useful to everyone. Some of these may only be useful to some people. Who knows? I mean, again, everybody's different. Everybody writes differently. But I think if you want to improve your lyrics, or maybe if you just, you know, want a couple of tips for your arsenal, maybe if you're very happy with your lyrics, some of these can still be useful. They might make things easier for you. You might write faster. You might, you know. So for anybody who writes lyrics, I'm sure there's a thing or two in here that will be useful. All right. So my first tip for improving your lyric writing is pretty basic. It's just keep listening, keep reading, keep writing. It doesn't get simpler than that. This is applicable to anything, really. But I think the most important thing is, as with anything, is to constantly be honing your craft. You know, you should always, first of all, you should always be paying attention to other people's lyrics. When you listen to music, always pay attention. And I think it's especially useful when you listen to other genres of music from what you yourself are creating. You know, I mean, I create sort of folk rock Americana type music, but I love listening to, you know, hip hop and heavy metal and things that are really far removed from the stuff that I'm doing, and really paying attention to the lyrics. Because it just helps to listen very carefully to the nuances that people use, to the different plays on words, and all that kind of stuff. So, again, just constantly be listening. And again, be reading books. You know, if you're not a big reader, again, audiobooks, I'm obsessed with audiobooks. I'm always listening to an audiobook, and I read on paper as well, but I have a lot more time to read, like to listen. So, you know, I'll go out for a walk or a run for a half hour, an hour or something, and that, you know, that's a good chunk of book right there. Yeah, I'll drive. When I'm driving, I'll listen. When I'm, you know, doing the dishes or, you know, vacuuming the floor, something, you know, just use that time to listen to a good book. And it doesn't matter what kind of book it is at all, I think, as long as it's good, as long as it's well written. You know, it can be a nonfiction, it can be fiction, it can be self-help, doesn't matter. Just, I think, just drinking in language is so important. And of course, it is better if it is the language that you write your lyrics in. So, again, I write most of my lyrics in English. So I listen to English stuff most of the time. Well, this is a kind of a chicken and egg kind of thing. I mean, I am constantly listening to English books, English podcasts in English. I'm listening to music that is quite often with English lyrics. So, you know, who knows? Maybe I would write more lyrics in Icelandic if I listened to more and read more Icelandic books and listened to more Icelandic songs. I don't know. But so that's in it. And of course, as well, TV shows, movies, plays, go to the theater. You know, I'm a big theater person. Of course, I work in theater a lot. That is, you know, fantastic. You should always do that. So it not only provides you with inspiration, but it is so vital, I feel, to constantly be drinking in language. And, you know, social media is probably the worst place for this because, well, maybe not the worst. I mean, you know, but I don't know, using the shorthand that people use on social media might not, well, I don't know, maybe it definitely depends on the kind of music that you are creating, I think. I mean, for me, I don't know, creating a folk song with a lot of OMGs and you know, meme language probably wouldn't work very well. Well, unless it was a kind of a parody or something. But, you know, but if you're doing, you know, dance music or hip hop or something like that, who knows? It might work great. I don't know. So, yeah, don't take my word for it. That's just, you know, I choose to drink that in through other means. I think it's more useful, especially because it introduces you to things that are not familiar. Social media, to me, it gets very familiar. But reading different books by different authors, listening to different music, all that kind of stuff, I think is it introduces you to, you know, colloquialisms and plays on words and things that you wouldn't have thought of. And that doesn't mean that you will use those plays on words or that exact language in your music. You might. I think if there's nothing wrong with taking a phrase that you read in a book and using it in a song, as long as you're not, like, you know, ripping off an entire poem or something like that. But, you know, obviously, but, you know, a lot of things like that, I think, work really great. You just have to make sure that you are obviously ethical about it and you treat everything with respect. So, yeah, so that's my number one tip. This went on for way too long. And the other half of this tip is, of course, to just keep writing lyrics. You just constantly be writing down lyrics and poems and things. Just write. Just keep exercising that muscle. It is a muscle that needs exercise constantly, I think. So just always be jotting down ideas and writing things, even if you never intend to use it. Keep a journal. I'm going to get actually to that in a second, but just keep doing that. And this actually ties into my second tip, which is to keep a database. And what I mean by that is to keep writing down all kinds of things, anything that pops into your head, no matter how weird it may seem or how you sort of, you know, it wouldn't, you don't really think that it would ever work in a song. Just keep writing things down. And it can be a little notebook. I used to do that. Nowadays, I just have a Word document, like a Google Docs document in my Google Docs that's just called something like lyrics ideas or something like that. And it is, that's my database. And so any time that I think of something, now, again, when I keep reading all these things, and I mentioned this in the first episode, One thing that I do, and this is why I think it's so important to pay attention, to read, to listen to, or listen to other people's songs, to watch movies and TV shows and pay attention to the way people talk, is that a lot of the times I'll hear a saying or some kind of colloquialism or a play on words or whatever, and I'll take it and I'll twist it. And I took an example last time where I heard the phrase, things are not as bad as they seem, or something like that, and I turned it into everything is worse than it seems, which turned into a whole new song. And it's the same with the song that I'm going to use as my example today. Well, it's not exactly the same. There, I just took a very common phrase, which is good girls go to heaven. Or I guess this is sort of a cliche, and I'll get to cliches later. And I said, all right, good girls go to heaven, but bad girls stick around. That was my idea. That's where the song that I'm going to use as an example today came from. So I write these things down, and especially if I think of some way to twist the expectations, I guess. You know, take something that you're familiar with and twist it around a little bit. That's a big theme for me. I love it when I can take something that people know, that they're familiar with, and turn it on its head. And that's a big theme with me, I think. So that's something. So every time I think of something like that, I'll write it down in that Google Doc. And then when I sit down to write, if I don't have an immediate idea, I'll go and read through that quote-unquote database. And I highly recommend this. Again, you can do it any way you want. You can do it through, you can just write it down on a piece of paper in a notebook or something like that. My problem with that is that I have like 20 notebooks full of stuff in my closet. And it just takes a long time. Most of that stuff is completely useless. It's shopping lists and different things, because I always used to carry a notebook in my pocket for years and years and years. So anytime I needed to write something down, I would write it in one of those. So there are phone numbers for people I haven't met in years, and all kinds of things like that. You know, diary snippets and stuff. So now I have a smartphone. I use that. If I have an idea when I'm out and about, I'll just pull up the Google Doc on my phone and write it down there. So that's what I use. You can also, there's a great app called Evernote, which I do use that as well, but they changed. So I did use it a lot, but they changed it so you can only use, unless you have a professional paid plan, you can only use the app on one device or something. And since I have a tablet and I have a phone, I wanted to be able to use it everywhere. So I don't really use that as much anymore. I find that Google Docs just work better for me in this respect. But you can use, again, whatever you feel like. But this is just a great way. Because again, as I have touched on before, I think one of the most important things when it comes to writing songs is to find as many little tricks as you can to be able to do it on demand. If you are writing, especially if you want to write professionally, which I do, although most of the time I write songs on order, it's to pre-existing lyrics, but you know, sometimes I'll sort of go, all right, I need to make a song for some reason. And just being able to sit down and have a database of things to go through if you need to create something quickly, then it's a great jumping off point to have these things you'll stumble upon. I mean, I have entire verses written in there that I've never used, that I maybe haven't been quite happy with, or just hasn't fit into anything that I've been doing. And mind you, keep in mind, most of these things you'll never use. You will write down dozens of things, and for every 10 ideas you get, maybe one song comes out of it. But that's the nature of the beast here, It's the same with writing songs. I mean, for every song that I put out there that I record, I probably write 5 to 10 songs that I never use. Or maybe I'll try them out live a couple of times and I'm not happy with them and I'll put them on the shelf. But I keep them around. That's a different database for like songs that are finished or sort of finished that I don't use right now, and I might find uses for them later. That's happened in the theater. I've been able to resurrect songs that I thought I wouldn't use because I finally found a place where they fit. So I never throw anything away. I keep a database of everything that I do because you never know when you can take some old idea, some old thing, pull it apart and Frankenstein it into a new thing. So I, again, keeping a database of lyric ideas, of even if it's just a single word, you hear a word that sounds interesting or that the meaning is interesting or whatever, just write it down and maybe you'll be able to use it, maybe you won't. Now, my third tip is arguably the most important. And this, again, builds on the first one, which is to know your theme. I would say, and this can be kind of intuitive, but it is a great thing to think about consciously, especially when you're, if you're only just starting out writing lyrics. I think it's very important. But also if you've been writing it for years, this was something that didn't dawn on me really until I had been writing songs for many years. And it made me realize why some of my songs, or some of my lyrics rather, didn't work as well as some other ones. And this is because of theme. You have to know your theme. It's just vital to have a theme for any song that you write or for any lyric that you write. I think your lyrics are never stronger than your theme. Now, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking, but this is where you can definitely use every cliche in the book. It doesn't matter. It can be hard. It can be whatever. But it just needs to be there, and you have to know what it is. You have to be conscious of what you're trying to say, because, and this is where I would sometimes go very wrong before realizing this, was that I'd start writing something and it would just turn into words that sounded good, but the theme wasn't there, so it wasn't cohesive. It didn't make sense. So maybe I'd write a great first verse, and then when it came to the second verse, because I wasn't conscious of the theme, it would fall apart. So it would be the first and the second and the third verse, they would be like three different short stories that weren't related to each other, and it would just didn't make sense. Or I would start repeating myself, because one other thing that theme does is once you know your theme, even if your lyrics are not a narrative piece, it's still it propels you forward. If you have a theme, then you write something right based on that theme, and then it shows you where to go. It's a sort of a blueprint or a roadmap, if you will, where you know where, in which direction you need to head next, and it will keep you from repeating yourself, because, all right, I've covered this aspect of the theme. What more does this theme have to offer? So this is a short point, but I think it's very important. Just, and again, when you pick something from your database that you want to write about, then analyze that line or that word or whatever it is and figure out where the theme is. And there can be many different themes to that. I remember a song that I wrote. This actually, well, there might be a YouTube video where I play it, but it's not something that I've really done a lot. Certainly not my strongest song, but I was kind of happy with it anyway. It's called Disposable Things, and that was the starting off point. That's what I wrote down in my database when I was writing it. I wrote down Disposable Things, because that just somehow caught my attention. It was regarding some discussion about plastic and all that stuff. So I thought Disposable Things. And the theme that jumped out at me was disposable people, like disposable lovers, things like that, like a one night stand, things like that. So I wrote this thing and it helped me. It was all metaphors. You know, you were like an airplane pillow. Then you rest your head on it and then you throw it away. Stuff like that. And I thought that worked very well. And so those things, again, because I had a theme, if I had just started writing down disposable things without a clear theme to it, it would have been a completely different song. And probably the lyrics wouldn't have been as strong. I haven't really done much with that song, but I was pretty happy with the lyrics. So, just know your theme before you start writing. It will make it so much easier. Now, again, building on this, my fourth tip is to tell stories. Now, that does not mean that your lyrics have to be a narrative. That's a different thing. Although, I'm a bit of a storyteller. Many of my songs have a narrative, but many of them don't. But they still tell stories in a way. So what I mean by that is, you know, take your listener on a journey. Make sure that there is a through line. And again, this ties in with the theme again. No, your theme will take you somewhere and it'll turn into somewhat of a story. I'm using the term story pretty loosely here. But what I mean is you need to go, there needs to be a beginning, a middle, and an end. So your lyrics, just like your music, have to build up to something. And the best way that I have found to get to this point is to know how you're going to end it, how your lyrics are going to end, what's going to be the quote-unquote climax of the lyrics. Now, the song that I use that I'm going to play at the end of this episode as a sort of an example of how I utilize some of these elements is actually a story. That's a narrative. It's a true story. In fact, I'll tell you about it later. But that sort of has a narrative beginning, middle, and an end. But many of the songs that I've written, some of them are even just like lists of things. That's a great way to write lyrics, actually, is to, again, when you have a theme and you know, you come up with things. Again, another song that I wrote, this is actually on my album, is called Things That No One Wants, which again was the line that I had sort of written down at some point. And then I said, all right, let's write a song called Things That No One Wants. So I made a list of things that no one wants, but my theme was unrequited love. So tying the theme to that meant that, all right, so I'm going to start out by describing just awful things. Or not awful things, but, you know, like a dance inside a jail, a finger through the mail, stuff like that. It was very visceral and very, you know, sort of grotesque in many ways. So I put together the list of things, but it was all a metaphor for unrequited love. And then because I had a theme and I knew I wanted to have a through line, like a beginning, a middle, and an end, I went from the most basic things and then slowly started building up towards going, all right, and in the end it was, you know, my fingers on your spine, a dream where you were mine, things like that. So it turned into almost like a stalkery kind of story, which I, you know, again, I'm pretty happy with those lyrics and that song. So there's a definite, not really narrative, but it does tell a story and it takes the listener on a journey. So that's my, oh, and by the way, this song is actually the intro song to this podcast. now that I think about it, that's this song, The Things That No One Wants. And it has a story, even though it's not a narrative. So that's my difference. So just, again, this ties to the theme thing. Just make sure that you're not repeating yourself. Make sure that there is an arc. There is a story. There's a journey to the song. And my best, the best tip that I have for creating that story or that arc is to know where you're going to end and start somewhere, not completely different, but, you know, start lower than that and just build up to that end. And that's that, I think, how is how, you know, and again, it comes down to twisting expectations in many ways. You know, start somewhere and try to, if possible, don't force it. But if you can, I think it's always good if you can end in a sort of an unexpected place. So that's the fourth tip. Now, the fifth tip, again, builds on the same thing. When you're telling your story, and this is just the basic creative writing tip, is show, don't tell. Just don't tell me that your heart is broken. Show me how your heart is broken. And, you know, this, of course, and even if there there's not a narrative, this is just the golden rule. You always want to show, not tell. Of course, this is poetry, and in poetry, you are forgiven for a little more telling than in prose. But I still think, you know, if you can set up a scene instead of just telling me, oh, I'm so sad, if you can show me a person sitting in a room by themselves drinking cheap bourbon and smelling a sweater that someone left behind. I'm just making this up as I go along. But something like that is much stronger. You know, oh, I'm so sad because you left me. All right. But, you know, I'm sitting and I'm drunk and I'm smelling her sweater is a much stronger story. It's a much stronger image. And it is an image. The other one is just information. So anytime you can conjure up an image, anytime you can show me something, show me a scene, it just works so much better. And it will make your lyrics way stronger. And again, there are, you will definitely have to tell us something. That's just not, it's not possible to just show everything. But anytime you can set up a scene and show me something in your lyrics instead of telling me, it is going to work 10 times better and your song is going to be much, much better for it and your lyrics. Again, this is the golden rule of any writing, so just keep it in mind. Show, don't tell. All right. Tip number six has to do with cliches. This is, I'm particularly interested in this area. Cliches are a controversial topic, and I think you can use them very intelligently. So that's my tip. Use cliches intelligently. Now, be cautious. Cliches are tricky, but they can be very helpful. They can also be terrible, but they can be very helpful. I'm obsessed with familiarity. I think familiarity can be very comforting to your listener. So anytime you hear something that is familiar, I think it puts you at ease. It makes you feel like, oh, this is nice. I feel at home here. But at the same time, it can't be exactly the same as something else, because then you go, hey, wait a minute, that's that other thing. So cliches kind of do that. In a way, they can sort of go, oh, yeah, this is a familiar line. I've heard this before. and it makes sense to me. But if you're not careful, it can also be sort of, all right, I've heard this millions of times before, don't do it. So it can be great, but it can also be cringeworthy. So this is just going to be a judgment call, but I wanted to include it because I have resorted to using cliches sometimes. Sparingly, yes, but they can be helpful to spark something. And this, again, has to do with that thing of, you know, taking lines from other things, not necessarily other songs, but books and movies and things. These cliches that you hear all the time, and maybe putting them in a different context or twisting them a little bit. Again, with the example of the song that's coming up, Good Girls Go to Heaven, that's a sort of a cliche. Good girls go to heaven. But then you go, all right, good girls go to heaven, but bad girls stick around. Which kind of, I mean, it's actually, I mean, Jim Steinman wrote a song called Good Girls Go to Heaven, Bad Girls Go Everywhere. So it wasn't really an original idea. But I think it is, I did something quite different. My song is nothing like the Meatloaf song by Jim Steinman. But, you know, it's about, and of course, if you listen to the first episode, the song that I put in there, Lock This Door, the lyrics there are basically built out of cliches. For that one, I wanted to write the most heartbreaking song you had ever heard. And so I took all of these cliches from, you know, blues songs and country songs and heartbreak ballads and things like that. And I put them all together. So there you have lines like, you know, been down so long, the bottom looks like up, which we've heard in many blues songs. You know, Jim Morrison used that and other people. That was a cliche like 50 years ago, probably. And, you know, the moon is blue as your eyes, stuff like that, which is very cliche, but I think it works very well in that song. But it could have gone the other way very easily. So, you know, cliches, use them sparingly, use them intelligently. But just as long as you're aware of why you're using that line, that's probably the most important thing. You need to know, all right, so this, if I put it in this context, it's going to help my story, my theme, my lyric, basically. So I think that's a huge thing. It's not a huge thing, but it is important that you're aware of cliches, that you don't use them for no reason, but be aware that they can help you. All right. So my seventh and final tip is to always keep working on your lyrics. Now, that's not what this is not a rehash of the first tip. What I mean by that is, once you've written it down on the page, because this is where I used to fall flat all the time, was that once I had written it down on a piece of paper, I would say, all right, it's done. But that's not true. This is very important. Your lyrics are never completely finished. Keep working on them. Keep revising them. And don't be afraid to keep revising them for years. I have written songs and then revised the lyrics 5 or 10 years later when I've been going through it and I said, this line actually could work better some other way. So don't be afraid of that. Even if you've released it, if you recorded it and released it, you can still change the lyrics. There's nothing that says that the next time you play the song that you released on your album 10 years ago, that you can't change the lyrics to it. That's just, you can absolutely do that. If a thought comes into your head and you say, oh, actually, this line could be better this way, do it. This is, I think a lot of us have this fear of changing our songs after we've put some sort of imaginary stamp on them, or like a final, this is the song. I think many of us think, all right, well, then that's the song. it can't be changed after that, which is emphatically not true. Your song is malleable for the rest of your life. There is no reason to not revise it if you get the urge. It took me years to learn this. And, you know, some of my songs, some of my older songs that I had stopped doing live and I had sort of given up on because I didn't really like them as much anymore, I took some of them and I just revised them and revitalized them and made them to my standard today, because I have been writing songs for most of my life, and the old songs are not to the same standard as the stuff I write today. Of course not, because I have so much more experience now, and I've gotten through so much more, both as a songwriter and just as a person. You know, my worldview is different. It's all different. I've increased my vocabulary. I've increased my musical abilities and everything. So songs that I wrote 10, 15 years ago are not to my standard, but I can take them and I can revise them. And I have, and it really is so important, I think. I've taken songs that I had given up on and I've made them a lot better. I've also just taken songs that I was happy with and just changed a few words and made them even better. But just don't be afraid to keep working on them, to keep revising them. And this is, of course, true for the music as well as the lyrics. But just that's probably my biggest tip. If you have a song that you wrote a long time ago and you're maybe not completely happy with it, revisit it. See if you can't make it so that you're happy with it. Maybe you can't, and there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe you will make it a lot better than it used to be, and you'll have a new favorite song to play when you do live shows and stuff. So I just want to recap these six tips. So the first one is to just keep listening, keep reading, keep watching, and keep writing. Just keep at it, hone your skills constantly. Tip number two, keep a database. Write down interesting things that you hear, that you read, that pop into your head for no apparent reason. Write them down. Keep a database. It will make your life so much easier when you have to come up with ideas for songs. And know your theme before you start writing. That's tip number three. Know your theme. Again, it makes life so much easier. It prevents you from being halfway through a song and just getting stuck because you really don't know where you're going with it. And related to that again, tip number four, tell stories. This is the other side of the same coin. If you know your theme, you sort of know your story, but just keep it in your mind that this is a story. There's a story behind, even if it's not a narrative. Make sure that you know your theme and you know your story and you tell that story well. And show, don't tell. That's the fifth tip. Show, put it in a scene. Show me, don't tell me, if you can. Always think, can I show this instead of telling the listener? Will that make it better? And number six, use cliches intelligently. Not just willy-nilly, but don't stay away from them just because you think, nah, it's too cliche. Think maybe it can work, but maybe it can't. Just be clever about it. Use your best judgment. And yeah. Now, the seventh and final tip is just to keep working on it. Don't abandon a song. Sometimes you have to abandon songs, but if there's something that you've written, it's never done. You're never done with your song until the day you die. You can always revisit things and change it. No matter if it's been out, maybe a lot of people have heard it, maybe it's been a hit, doesn't matter. You can always change it whenever you want to. That is your right as the writer. All right, so those are my seven tips for writing better lyrics. If you have more tips like this, I'd love to hear them in the comments. If you have suggestions for things that you would like to hear me talk about on this podcast, I am planning to bring in some guests. Maybe not every episode, but I would definitely like to have some other songwriters, you know, friends, people I admire, things like that. So if you have any suggestions for guests, I'd love to hear that. And there is one thing, one bonus tip that I think maybe, this is not something that I actually use, but I probably should. But it never hurts to gather a group of people, or it doesn't have to be a group, but, you know, a person or two or a group, and get their feedback before anything else. Just have a friendly group of people that you trust to listen to your song or read your lyrics or whatever and give you their best comments. That is a very, very good way, especially if you're just starting out and you don't really know whether you're doing things 100% right or not. Get feedback immediately. It can be a great shortcut. So that's my bonus tip. So I guess this was 8 tips. But this works, obviously, this is not just a lyric thing. It's music, anything. Just if you have people that you trust and that you, people whose opinion you value, get them to tell you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. All right, so the song that I want to play you here at the end is called Good Girls Go to Heaven. And it's one of the songs from my album that I released this summer. And this song I did release on a different album that I made with a duet I was a part of called Misery Loves Company. And our old album is actually on Spotify. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, on which you can find at onebadday.is/episode2. And so I released it back then. But then I wasn't quite happy with the arrangement. And there was actually a line that I changed in the lyrics as well. So I took it and I arranged it for piano, because I kind of wrote it to be played on piano, but on the original album it was played on guitar. And I played it on piano and I got a whole band, and it was I was a lot happier with it. And again, this, as I've mentioned before, you know, it was a line that I'd heard all over the place in songs and different things. And it was kind of a cliche, good girls go to heaven. So I twisted it a little bit. And I had it written down in one of my notebooks at the time, because this is a 12, 13-year-old song. And it was actually, I had the line written down. And then I actually had the craziest night of my entire life, where I was out drinking and I met this girl. This was when I was single. And so that experience, I thought, all right, this is what I can do. This is the theme. This is the story for that line. So I took that experience, turned it into a song. And, you know, I set up scenes. I tell a little bit as well in those lyrics, but I set up scenes. I tell a story. There is a very clear theme. And so I pretty much use all of these tips in this song, or in the lyrics rather. And, you know, again, I was not afraid to revise it and re-release it with a different arrangement and slight changes to the lyrics. So this is called Good Girls Go to Heaven. I hope you enjoy it. Again, if you want to support this, you can go to Amazon and shop as you normally would. But if you go through my link, and again, if you just type in onebadday.is/Amazon, that takes you there through my affiliate link, and you can shop as you normally would, and it supports this podcast. And if you want to sign up for a free month of Amazon Prime, just go to onebadday.is/Prime. And the same with Audible. Again, I'm obsessed with audiobooks. So onebadday.is/audible. And that will support this podcast. And I would be extremely happy. And again, I'd love to hear from you. Any feedback, any suggestions, or if you just want to say hi, you can leave a comment if you go to onebaddate.is/episode2, or send me an email. The email address is Eyvi, that's E-Y-V-I, at onebaddate.is. E-Y-V-I at onebaddate.is. Or there's also a contact form on my website. Now, if you like this episode, again, I would love it if you subscribe and if you leave a review. Those reviews really help to get the word out there. So I would be extremely happy if you do that. This podcast is available in most places where you look for podcasts. So you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, all those places. Except Google Play, for some reason, doesn't want Icelandic podcasts. So, yeah, screw those guys. But again, your reviews mean so much. So thank you. Now, if you want a couple of my songs for free, you can go to onebaddate.rocks and get a couple of songs there. And that about does it for this episode. Here comes the song, Good Girls Go to Heaven. Thank you so much for listening and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Everywhere I look, it's a bunch of godforsaken dames. Overflowing ashtrays and bottles full of dreams. The lights start to flicker, but it might be these old eyes that look you up and down as you walk in from the street. Glance in my direction, I buy another drink. Like I'm falling down, and good girls go to heaven, all the bad girls seem to stick around. Since she left, it's been hard to stay sober. It's hard to kick these habits she left me with. But now the light hits your face, and you dazzle this old heart when you smile at me. And you look $100 and inebriated goddess. You look so nice beneath the neon light. And good girls go to heaven, but all you bad girls seek me out. Tell you mine. Oh, you say you have a lover, but I can't say that I mind. You are perfect, and he ain't here tonight. So I ask you, will you follow me? You nod and then you smile. My arms are wrapped around you and And I think you've had too much. You can't hold your liquor, and you really should go home. I can't bear to take you home to him. You can't come with me, and you really shouldn't walk home alone. So I drag you along. You kiss me on the way. I know I want to have you, but I never will. And all the good girls go to heaven, but all you bad girls. Yeah.